Carl the Madman here. Welcome to MMAMadhouse.com Live, episode 124, the Intimidation Clothing Special. Hey, Timmy, how's it going, brother?
Pretty good. I'd like to tell all the fans tonight, I'm very sorry that Lapaki will not be joining us, but his replacement is none other than the wrestling phenom himself, Triple H.
Let's get him out here. Big fight at WrestleMania this coming weekend, man. We're like 9 days from WrestleMania. I gotta get in shape for my match with Brock.
What are you guys doing tonight?
I'm kind of cranky right now. I'm just gonna be honest with you guys. So I'm on my way home, and then Chris Gregory like tells me about some asshole that like had some really disparaging remarks to make about Garrett Holeave. So I just posted them up on Facebook and posted what he had to say. And I hope that people listen, go and fucking read the post and then post away and message this idiot and call him out. Do whatever you want. And if you have anything he wants to say for me, I'm not hard to find.
That was pretty low. Yeah, that's not cool, man. Kids trying hard. Can't disrespect somebody who's trying to give it all they got.
Yeah. Now, I'm not even like a soft guy, but fuck. That pissed me off, dude. Pump pissed me off, bro. And you know that somebody on Team Madhouse or Team MMA Topics is going to say something.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And it's funny because it needed to be said.
Dude, we got a banging show tonight.
We do. I'm super excited, man. Intimidation special all night long. You guys, anybody out there who doesn't know about Intimidation Clothing, get out from underneath the rock you're living in, because these guys are doing it like nobody else, sponsoring fighters at every level, sponsoring events. These guys are the true definition of that logo on the back of our shirts that say support local MMA. These guys get out there and do it, man, from the grassroots to the big shows, man. Tonight, we want to give thanks back to them by doing a special tonight. And, let's start off with bringing in Luke right away. Luke, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing well, guys. Sorry, I'm a little hoarse. I'm a little under the weather, unfortunately.
Hey, hold on. Before we get too far in, man, I want to say congratulations on signing Bobby Emmons, man. I really like Bobby a lot. I mean, I don't really know him all that well, per se, but, you know, through social media, as well as you can know somebody, I think that's a great acquisition to the Intimidation family.
Well, we've actually been working with Bobby for almost a year now, and, I would say that his personality on Facebook and Twitter is not necessarily something we're typically attracted to, but I can tell you that knowing Bobby pretty well now over the past year or so, he's just a really interesting, very, very smart and witty guy, and he's a lot of fun. And if you can take what he says online on the social media stuff with a grain of salt and realize that he's not trying to offend, he's trying to be funny, and when you understand that, he's actually... He says a lot of things that people don't want to admit that they have to laugh at. Let's just say that.
Exactly. I think that's a great way to put it, Luke. I think that is really a great way to put it. And he's got a big fight this weekend, you know? His title fight against Dustin Nice in Kokomo, and hopefully, you know, he gets that hand raised.
Yeah, and when you get down to, some of the top promotions in the regional scene in the Midwest, you know, Coliseum Combat, Mark Slater, talk about a hustler. Mark Slater, well, he was pounding my door down trying to get us to sponsor his events about, I'd say probably last September, August, September area. And he's like, dude, you gotta sponsor. So I'm like, man, I don't know. And he kept just pounding on my door. And then all next thing I know, he's putting on Facebook, everybody go like Intimidation. If we get 200 likes, they're going to sponsor us. And then he's out doing the same thing on Twitter, and he just over and over. And I'm like, Mark, man, how can I say no to you? So Mark Slater and Coliseum Combat, I'll tell you what, they've gone through some tougher times thanks to some stuff with some ignorant people in Kokomo that don't understand the value of what MMA does for the local community there. But you want to talk about someone who understands local MMA and understands its value. Mark Slater in Coliseum Combat, they're about as good a group to get behind as possible, and he loves Bobby Emmons up there in Kokomo. So the bringing Bobby in to fight Dustin Nice is a great matchup.
I agree. But a lot of you've got a lot of fighters over the next few weeks who are on some big events, and some of them, you know, have some big fights in front of them. Let's talk a little bit about what all you got going on in the next few weeks.
Well, it's this weekend itself will probably be the biggest weekend in the history of the company. Now that's hard to say that when, you know, a few weeks ago we were at the Arnold. Last weekend we had three different events with three different crews that were selling. But this weekend we have six events that we're sponsoring from South Dakota to Pittsburgh's next weekend. From South Dakota to Louisville, Kentucky. We have six events all in all. We have four crews that will be at those six events. So two of the events we will not have a crew at, but we will be doing some sort of giveaways or sponsorship or announcements about sponsorships, you know, items like that. And, I mean, a couple of these events, I mean, we've got, you know, we have the big cities, local MMA, and the big cities, local MMA, and the small cities. I think that's the cool part. You know, we've got a crew that's going to be in Canton, Ohio. We got one that's going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. We've got an event that we're sponsoring in Chicago, Illinois. But then we also have Kokomo, Indiana, Cedar Springs, Michigan, and out in South Dakota. It's the first time we've worked with those guys. That's in Brookings, South Dakota. So, I mean, just this weekend alone, it's just, you know, we're really trying to make sure people realize that this is the way it's worked well for us, and we're all about supporting the local scene. And it's the local fighters, it's the local promoters, and more importantly than anything, it's helping out the fans. And, you know, we're not out there charging $75 for a T-shirt and ripping you off. You know, we're not trying to sit here. Yeah, we understand how, you know, the economy sucks and that people aren't making the money that they want to make. So $25 T-shirts are the norm. So, you know, it works out pretty well.
Now, you touched on Michigan. Didn't you do some events with Driller up there last year?
Yeah, we worked with Driller Promotions in Minnesota, actually. Driller Promotions and Sterling Entertainment Group up in the Minneapolis area. So we work with them quite a bit. I expect we'll work with them some more here in the future. Right now, I know they keep a very busy schedule, so trying to keep up with them sometimes it gets a little difficult just because we have so many different promoters and so many events in so many cities. So, yeah, one of the hardest things in this altogether is, I mean, it looks like we have a staff of 10 or 15 people doing a lot of what we do. And, you know, in the offices, we only have a couple people to do everything. And when it comes to the, you know, the crews and stuff, that's where I have, you know, more people that are willing to help and, you know, get paid for their work. But, balancing everything is probably the most difficult thing out of all of it. I'm just fortunate that, you know, they always say, if you want something done, you know, give it to a busy person. Well, I'm a busy person, and I get things done, so it kind of works out well.
Well, I hope, honestly, to see you do some stuff with them this year, because me and Lepaki were huge fans of the promotions and the events they put on last year. We were big fans of the commentating. We, you know, I thought it was a well-done product, you know, so it was good to see your name there. You know, I want fans out there to understand a little bit more about you and how you guys sponsored. Because, you know, a lot of people out there misconstrued, like you said, even the size of your company. You know, you have people out there thinking that you can offer $25,000 per fighter for sponsorship, and that's not truly how it goes, is it?
No, not even close. Yeah, I mean, the sponsorship market is, it's interesting. Let's just say that. It isn't even what it was a few years ago. A few years ago, fighters, you know, were getting quite, you know, two or three times as much to be on TV fights. And really what's happened in the last few years, the numbers have all gone down. You know, when it comes down to numbers, a lot of times we're dealing with in the hundreds or lower. You know, some of these guys are getting gear sponsorships. You know, we don't pay amateur fighters, for example. We're allowed to legally, but we don't. You know, and some of these companies, they'll go out there and they'll attach himself to a couple different fighters, or they'll use one generic design and throw a bunch of different names on it, and they just use the same design over and over. Or they're even, some of the guys even make signature shirts for amateurs on a regular basis, and we just kind of take a little bit of a different approach. If you're not a championship level pro, we're not making a signature shirt for you. You know, that's just kind of the approach we take. You know, the fighters that have signature shirts from our brand, they get bonuses off that. We have a few fighters that are on month-to-month contracts, and the rest are on fight-to-fight contracts. So, you know, and 95% of our business is done with a handshake, and I think I can name out of maybe 500 to 1,000 deals we've done, I can name maybe three people that have ever tried to screw us. So when you're talking about numbers, 997 out of 1,000, I'll take that. That's pretty good odds.
Yeah, and I appreciate you clarifying that, because, you know, I want a lot of the, especially the amateurs and the beginning pros right now listening to the show, and other people in the media who don't seem to understand what entails a sponsorship always. You know, I'd like them sometimes to hear from the horse's mouth. You know, I think personally there's a lot of fighters out there that hear sponsorship is probably as good, if not better, than cash. You know, just because they need that upgraded equipment so they can train and feel more comfortable and have better products while they're training. So, you know, we've seen, you know, a few things going around lately about sponsorships, and I'm curious, you know, how you guys deal with that. You know, obviously it's not a money thing, but how do you guys deal with the influx of requests? Because, I mean, you've got to have every Tom, Dick, and Harry, especially a lot of schmucks who think they're managers or promoters, calling you up and like, oh, you know, hey, you can be on my event for $800 tonight. You know, I mean, how do you distinguish what's bullshit and what's a real guy to follow?
Well, I mean, we, you know, from experience alone, we have a good feel for what works and what doesn't. So that's a huge help right off. The other area is, you know, are we working with a single A baseball level promotion, or are we working with a triple A baseball level promotion? And you can easily see that from their fight cards, from their venues, from, you know, attendance maybe not so much, but you can usually tell from the kind of fighters that have come out of their organization. You look at a Coliseum Combat, who they've had fight for them. You look at an XFO or NFFS, and you see the fighters that they have fighting for them. That's your AAA baseball. Those are the guys that are going to the next level. You know, you got fighters like Jeff Curran and Pat Curran fighting over the XFO, and I mean, Daniel Strauss fought over there, you know, NFFS with Brian Rogers and Jessica I and Stipe Miocic and others. So, you know, you're seeing a lot of next level fighters come out of these promotions. They're developing talent that's going to the next level or that's going to be there at some point in the near future. So, that alone is a big piece to it. You know, another thing that really determines for us how much we're willing to spend, do I have a crew in your area? If I've got a crew within 2 hours of you, I can probably get them there to your event, and I'm willing to pay a little bit more to market because of the fact that I know I can make up some of that money by sending somebody there to sell product. If I can't sell product, then, you know, maybe I'll throw a third as much at the promoter and say, hey, get our name out there, let people know about us. Here's a couple prize packs are coming in the mail. Make sure you give these out and make sure you give us a lot of shout-outs. So, you know, something along those lines is probably the best. One of the things that I find, let's just say interesting in this industry is the expectations. I'll give a perfect example. A guy like an Isaiah Chapman, 4-0 bantamweight, anyone who doesn't know his name yet will. He's out of Akron, Ohio, fighting for the bantamweight title for the NFFS this weekend. His expectations are, he's just happy to be able to work with a good, reputable company that's going to promote him and put a little bit of money in his pocket. Meanwhile, then, another guy, for example, might be from across town. He thinks that he's worth $500 per fight or $1,000 per fight because he's got a big, loud, brash personality. And I'll tell you that there's no comparison in my book at all. And, you know, some of these guys come out there and they think they're all big and bad and that their crap don't smell. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'll work with the humble guy. I'll work with the loyal guy a million times over that brash, loud, big-mouthed jerk. So, I mean, that's pretty much the way we take it. Now, that having been said, you get someone who is very respectful but also isn't afraid to be a little bit of look at me, like a Brian Rogers, who's a marketing machine, who understands marketing and understands that he has to market himself and he has to promote himself, that's perfectly fine. We love those kind of individuals. We know that's not everyone, but we love those kind of individuals.
Now, you touched on Isaiah. Will his new signature keys be available to the fans at the event?
Yes. Yeah, those are coming out, and if you look at it closely enough, and it's on intimidationclothing.com, and then I think earlier tonight I posted it up on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/intimidation. His new I was sitting with my creative director, and we tried to do a panther, and we tried to do a beast, and we were going to try and do some mythological creature because his nickname is the Beast. We're trying to come up with some imagery around that, and my creative director, Chad, looks at me, and he's like, "What about Milwaukee's best ice, the Beast Ice?" And I'm like, wait a minute, where are you going with this? I like it. So then he starts kind of showing me some pictures of what the Milwaukee's best ice looks like, and I'm like, okay, let's do it. So, you know, that wasn't the beer of choice for me in college, but, you know, I wasn't quite as familiar with it, but I guess it was called Beast Ice was the nickname. So,
yep.
He went with a similar design, took the concept, you know, instead of Miller, it says Intimidation. Instead of Milwaukee's Best, it says the Beast, Isaiah Chapman. And changed some colors up, you know, had some similarities. It's obvious, it's not a knockoff, it's similar.
It definitely caught my eye when I saw it earlier today. And as somebody who once robbed a train for a bunch of the Beast, I know that label, and I think you did a great job, man. We were in high school, man. The train stopped. We stole some of the boxes. We all, like, because back in the day in the 80s, before criminals were really prevalent, you could go to a train car, just pop the little tab, push it open, and they have pallets of beer. You just back your truck up to the train track and just start shoving whole cases of beer in there and just drive off. That's what we did in small-town Texas. I'm sorry, but that logo is pimp.
Hey, whatever works, man, I'll tell you what. That, you know, and that's the cool part, though, is, like, you know, the stories that come around all that. And, you know, when we came up with the design, you know, I didn't really know where we were going to go with it, but this is where the creativity of Chad comes in real nicely. And he does 90% of our designs and does a phenomenal job.
Well, I love the bottom where the proof of alcohol and volume says 110% rage by volume. That's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, he always comes up with those creative little taglines, little things like that. The Imposure Will was one of his ideas. You know, he does just a real good job of coming up with some of this stuff. And you know, I'm the marketing and sales. Chad is the creative side. I do a little bit of creative from time to time. I can say that 2 or 3 shirt designs have come from me. And the other 85 or so have come from him. And it's a good thing, because outside of one shirt design, the ones that sell all came from him. So the only one I'll take any credit for is the cross shirt, and it looks like everybody else's MMA shirt, and I'm okay with that. It's like it's a traditional mixed martial arts, you know, style, you know, cross with wings and a blue outline. But it's a really cool shirt, and people love it. So I have no apologies for it looking like other companies' shirts, because it sells well. People love it. So, you know, I guess that's the kind of thing. We've been plenty original on, you know, more than half of our styles. I'm not too worried about a couple of them looking like, you know, some of these other companies.
Well, obviously, Isaiah, you know, like I said, I love his shirt. Fans, get out there, check it out, get those shirts. But he's somebody, excluding the shirt and that, he's somebody you've obviously seen something in for some time, because you got started as a sponsor as an amateur.
Yeah, we've been working with Isaiah. His gym is in Akron, Ohio. And basically what happened there was, when I first started getting into all this, I don't even remember how I came across those guys, but it's Unique Fitness, and it's a basement gym. I tell you what, I would never want to have to move all that equipment out of that basement, because it's down these kind of rickety, or it's just kind of a interesting stairway, kind of a narrow stairway, and you're walking down there, and it's kind of a bodybuilders and tough guy gym, and then over to the side they have like a boxing ring and some area for grappling and whatnot. And I don't know how I ever talked to them, but for whatever reason, I started talking to them about carrying intimidation, and they agreed to do so. And the next thing I know, they had this really good amateur named Isaiah Chapman, and I went to his first fight, which ended up being the first fight I ever went to, ended up being his only loss of his career, which was a split decision to a guy who's at least made it to the pro ranks by now. And I think we sponsored about half of his amateur fights. He went 12-1. I think he was, 5-0, 6-0 with us sponsoring him. And now he's 4-0 as a pro. And, come Sunday, he might be the new bantamweight champion of the NWFS. And if he isn't, there's nothing wrong with that either. We'll still sponsor him. We'll still support our guys because we try and stay loyal to him no matter what.
Now, you have a couple other fighters on that NWFS card as well, Luke, right? Like Frank and...
Yeah, Frank Carabello, John Hawk, my brain's going blank. George Comer, Tony Castillo, and then Nick Duell also. So, yeah, we have all those guys, plus we have a few amateurs. We have two girls going up against each other, Jenna Baldwin and Jessica Zomchek, two of the top 145-pound female fighters in the amateur ranks in the world. And a couple other guys. We have a 4-0 AMI named Dustin Wolf, who's a tough guy from Strong Style, which trains with Jessica I and Brian Rogers and those guys. He'll be wearing our Wolf shirt, go figure, and a couple others too. So, yeah, it'll be, all NWFS events are intimidation-centric. We usually have, on the bigger shows, at least half the card sponsored by us. It's kind of a perfect situation for us because everyone sees our brand, and we just basically ingrain that name into their brains. That's kind of the way I like to market things. I want you to see our stuff, and I want you to hear it, and then I want you to see it again, and I want you to hear it again, and I want you to get the email from us, then I want you to see it on Facebook, then I want you to go to Twitter and see it, and then you'll get another email. So, I don't want to annoy anyone, but I do want to make sure that they know we're out there and that we're doing more than everyone else.
Now, has your relationship with NAAFS helped you to gain a relationship with Bellator? Because I know that NAAFS has a great relationship with Bellator where they've actually held some of their title fights on Bellator cards.
Yeah, well, it certainly hasn't hurt. It's kind of one of those things where the NAAFS kind of helped open some doors there. Now, we haven't been to a Bellator event since, I think Bellator 75 was the last one we were at. And a lot of that's just location. They haven't had any events in the Midwest, with the exception of the end of last season was in Hammond, Indiana. And we just, their attendance at the last one we had been at with Bellator 75 wasn't very good, so we didn't end up going back to that venue. So if they come back to Ohio, we'll be there. Actually, Bellator 78 was the last one we were at. I forgot. We had a crew in Dayton and did pretty well down there. So, if they come back to the Midwest or they're in our area, I'm going to try and see what we can do. The hardest part is it's Bellator, so the entry fee is a lot higher than it is to go to an XFO or to a Coliseum Combat or NWFS event. And when the entry fee is really high, your risk goes up tremendously. And, we're still a small business. Despite a lot of perceived success out there, I'm certainly not rolling in the dough. I'm struggling to pay my bills just like everybody else out there in this economy. So, what we try and do is just make sure we're constantly marketing so that, we're always making sure we look as big as we can possibly look. There's no elusiveness to it. We're just making sure you as fans know exactly what it is we're doing. And, when it comes to some of these bigger events and some of these promotions that have higher expectations financially, sometimes we can't do it. But for the most part, we're able to make things work.
Now, I actually have a question concerning the UFC and their blackout policy on some fighters' shorts and what you as a sponsor think about that.
Oh, this topic. Here's the deal. If I have sponsored a fighter's career, let's take Isaiah Chapman. If I've sponsored his career for 3, 4, 5 years, and I've helped them get to another level. Now, I'm never going to claim that anything I ever did helped them actually get into the UFC. That is pure heart, determination, and skill. But if we have been loyal to that fighter for that entire time and are willing to pay the same amount of money that another company or 80 cents on the dollar that another company is willing to do that they have no relationship with, that only wants to basically rent their space, I don't see why we should have to first pay Dana White $100,000 a year in order to do so. Now, that having been said, I'm not sitting here bashing Dana or the UFC because at some point I'm probably going to need them, and I'm not one to burn bridges. I never have been. I never will be. But I don't agree with the rule, and I don't like it. And the reason I don't is because I pay my bills, and I do what I say I'm going to do. And that was what the whole rule was put in place for, was to basically weed out the guys who aren't going to pay their bills. Well, you can ask anybody. There's only, you know, one or two people that could ever have said anything bad about us, and those people would be lying, and those are people that I've made sure that I made it right with. You know, we've had a couple of situations. Everyone's going to have a couple of situations behind the scenes that maybe wasn't ideal, but I always make it right no matter what. And, you know, and that's the kind of the situation is we take care of our fighters. Sometimes there's miscommunications, but I make it right. Sometimes there's expectations that are, you know, maybe not 100% on par with what we were expecting. We always figure out ways to make that happen. And if I'm supporting a fighter's career for a long amount of time, it's a damn shame when I can't put my logo on that fighter who I've been loyal to for all those years and that they have no choice in the matter. So, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. One of our guys, summer of 2011, got signed by the UFC and had a week and a half notice to go fight a guy on a pay-per-view. And he was the first opening bout of the night. And, I'm so close with the fighter that my wife and I go out to dinner with he and his wife on a regular basis. So, I mean, here's this guy getting ready to make his UFC debut. He finally gets to realize his dream, and he can't get any sponsors because it's a week and a half's notice and nobody knows his name. So it was one of those deals where I would have easily put a very significant check in his pocket if he could have worn our shirt, but he wasn't allowed to. So, you know, what am I going to do? I'm not going to – you know, you can't really just pay your friends just to pay your friends. Because at the end of the day, that's just bad business, and you got to be able to survive, and you got to be able to survive in the long term. And if I'm just handing out money to my buddies, I'm not going to be in business 2-3 years from now. But at the same time, you know, here he is getting a couple $100s of total sponsorship to be in the UFC. And if you're in the UFC, I've always thought that you should be making, you know, if you're making 6-6 to start in the UFC, you should probably make at least 3 or 4 in sponsorships too. And, you know, it wasn't from a lack of effort, but he got less than $1,000 in sponsorships for that first fight because of the fact that, you know, there were a lot of limitations. And I can guarantee you I would have put a very significant check in his pocket for that fight if he'd have worn our shirt, but he wasn't allowed.
Yeah, so I think that, I mean, the unfortunate consequence is that really the only person that gets hurt is the fighter.
Yes.
Because I'm not sure if the sponsors are still paying him for having their logo duct taped up.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, I mean, I think it was it Camozzi that I saw a couple weeks ago that had a couple of logos with duct tape over them. And, you know, and I know Chris fairly well. You know, he's loyal to his the brands that work with him, and he's very good to his sponsors. You know, he and Brian Rogers are really good friends, and they you know, share a lot of they compare notes and kind of realize the value of that. And I know Brian Rogers was cornering Chris at the UFC event, and you know, I talked to Brian a little bit afterwards, and we were just talking about, you know, how much he appreciates the value of a sponsor like us, who's, you know, there for him win or lose, calling him up the next day to say keep your head up after a loss. You know, supporting him in the wins too, promoting his name all the time. And he and Chris talk about these kind of things. And I know that he and Chris are both kind of that same way. And it's a shame. I mean, as a sponsor, that's a really tough spot. If my logo isn't seen, I don't get the value. But at the same time, sponsorships are more branding than they are ROI-driven. And as long as you understand that going in, you know, you just have to figure out ways to make the most of it. I'm not putting out as much money in sponsorship dollars as I used to with Intimidation, but we're getting more out of it than we've ever gotten. And that's because of, you know, we're asking more of the fighters. We're asking them to help, you know, maybe even push a couple of shirts and say, hey, this is my walkout shirt for this event. See if you can, you know, go try and get four or five people on Facebook to go buy it. You know, that way they come to the fight with our shirt on, supporting, you know, John Hawk or Dustin Wolf or Nick Duhl or Frank Carabello or whomever. So,
yeah, I think that Carmozzi had some really great statements concerning sponsorship at the conclusion of his fight. And I think he even made a couple more during the post-fight conference, but I thought they were spot on. And I really wish that there was something that, you know, that they would fix that situation for some of these guys. And I definitely think you're right about the branding. I mean, through the sponsorship, you're really just trying to create that top-of-mind awareness because, you know, it's like, I mean, it's proven fact that, you know, 93% of the people are going to go to the first three things that pop into their mind. If they're thinking about buying an intimidation, you know, a mixed martial arts shirt, they're going to buy one of the first three companies that come to their mind. 80% of the time, they're going to buy the first company that pops into their head. So that's kind of where it's at, you know, with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, in terms of Chris and his thoughts, I know he had a big, long article on the Underground and everything else, and, you know, I agree for the most part. I mean, there's a few things there that it's tough because I understand another side of it, and I am in business to make money. I have no problem with that. It seems like there's a lot of people in America who seem to have a problem with making money. I'll let you know when I make some profit on that and I make some significant money. But, you know, at the end of the day, I am here to run. I'm not a .org. I'm a .com. And, you know, we are trying to, you know, pay our bills and do everything else and do a lot of things too. So I kind of disagree a little bit in terms of a few things. And, you know, there has to be a return on your investment. But it doesn't always have to be an exact one-to-one and you know, on certain fighters. You know, just some fighters are more valuable than others. Now, in Chris's case, he goes the extra mile for his sponsor, so I'll never knock him because, as Brian Rogers said to me, sponsorships are all about caring. If you care, you can make a sponsorship work, and you can make a sponsorship work really well. But if you don't care, that's when the problems come up. So, you know, what I would say is if you're a fighter out there and you constantly have problems with sponsors, then you need to take a look at yourself. You need to just kind of take a step back and take a look at things and figure out what you're doing wrong and stop making excuses. If you're a fighter that constantly has people coming to you because they want to work with you, yeah, you can start charging a premium. You can start asking for more money. Good for you. And if you're one of those guys that just is starting to get into it, you're trying to figure out what to do, if you've got a marketing or sales kind of personality and you can talk to just anybody, figure out a way to use that to your advantage on social media and figure out a way to use that to the advantage of your sponsors, because I'll put money in the pockets of those who are helping us make money, even if that is an amateur. I know I said I don't sponsor amateurs, but if I can get the right situation and I have the right individuals really going to bat for my company, you know, someone that's going to be there over time and really push the brand, you better believe I'm going to compensate them one way or another. If that's a ton of gear, it's a ton of gear. If that's a little bit of money too, then so be it.
Luke, I can't thank you enough. I know you're not feeling 100% tonight for coming on and hanging out. Before we jump to Frank, is there anything else you want to get out? You want to run through all your websites and social media again for everyone?
Sure. IntimidationClothing.com is our e-commerce site. That's the main one if you want to buy stuff, browse through things. We've got a few new items. We just added our Brass Knuckles 2 shirt, which is our charcoal gray one with the black and white printing. We just added that as a charcoal gray hoodie, too. My wife made fun of me earlier today because I didn't take it off for about 48 hours after picking it up from the printer. So, big fan of that one. I'll probably be sporting that at the NAAFS event this weekend with my Isaiah Chapman shirt underneath it. We've got a couple other new ones coming in as well. IntimidationMMA.com, if you ever happen to come across that on the social media sites, that will get you to all the other stuff too. IntimidationMMA is our promotional site. One of these days I plan on merging the two sites, but for right now they're two separate sites. One promotes fighters and events. The other promotes product itself. So we try and use a little bit of both. And then, of course, Facebook.com/Intimidation. And on Twitter, it's at IntimidationMMA. That's pretty much the gist of it all. Am I sticking around for Frank, or are you guys just going to interview Frank and I'm done, or what's the plan?
That's your call, bro.
You're more than welcome to hang out. I know that you weren't feeling good. We're going to just kick back and talk with Frank about his upcoming fight and what's going on with him and his life and the future.
I think that sounds great. I'll let you guys go ahead and do that, and I'll just I'll hop off the phone here, and I'll chime in online and listen in.
Hey, awesome. Luke, thank you so much again, brother, for all that tonight.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it, and thanks for all your consideration and all your promotion of local MMA. You know, we're definitely on the same page and on the same team here, and let's keep this good thing that we have going, and let's keep rolling with it.
You got it, sir.
You got it. We appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
Luke Jernigan with Intimidation Clothing. Kick-ass dude.
Kick-ass dude, man. I love that guy.
Now, let's bring in an ass-kicking dude. I think that's a good way to put it, right? Ass-kicker?
Yep.
Frank Carabello. Frank, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really, really good, man. How's camp been going? You got a big fight this weekend.
Yeah, I'm fighting Tony Hervey from Detroit, Michigan. He's actually my second opponent because the other guy he canceled. So just been getting ready for this guy.
Did the other guy wait until like the last week of camp to tell you that he was canceling, or did he at least have the courtesy to give you some notice before he backed out?
Well, it was actually, I guess, something with the athletic commission. They didn't allow him to fight me, so something like that.
Was that recent?
Yeah, it was about a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Well, is the change of opponent, is it something that made you happier or something that made you change your game plan completely? I mean...
No, I think they're both strikers, so I really didn't change much. I mean, I train for everything all the time, so it really doesn't matter.
Got to chase for those crazy kicks from Tony. So you're in camp. Things are going along. Obviously, you've got your new opponent. You're getting focused. You know, how important is this fight coming up? Because you were on a pretty good tear there for a while.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
After that last loss, man, it just lit a fire under my ass. I mean, after that fight, I just went right back to training, and I just got focused and trained real hard, and I'm ready to put on a show Saturday night and get a win.
Now, we were talking before the show, and I was curious, is this the same kind of change that you had after the Giddens fight, or was that something completely different that put you on that tear all of a sudden?
I don't know. I got a new conditioning coach and stuff, and, you know, I had to change things up in my training. I mean, now at the level I'm fighting at, they're giving me all these good guys, so I have to step it up a little bit. So, I mean, if I want to get big wins, I got to change everything up, and, like, especially on my diet and stuff, I had to change everything up.
Now, how important is it to you now, looking back, your dietary issues?
It's real important because, like, later on, like, earlier I was, you know, cutting weight and I was tired, dehydrated. I mean, now it's 3 days before weigh-ins, 2 days before weigh-ins, and I got all my energy. I feel good. I'm mentally focused. I'm not laying in the bed dehydrated. So, I mean, it's a big difference when you're dehydrated and you're not dehydrated mentally and physically.
So, is this a new coach? This coach that's working with your dietary issues and helping you with that, is this somebody private or somebody that's into the gym now? Or?
No, actually, I just did it up on myself. And, you know, my wife's been helping me out, cooking healthy meals and all stuff like that. My wife helps me a lot with all that. So, it's been great so far.
So, how long have you been working with this new dietary issue? Like, for the last, you know, couple weeks, couple months, since that fight?
Ever since my last loss, because when I went out there, I mean, I was really dehydrated, and I just didn't feel good. I just didn't feel good. When the day of the fight, I didn't have all my strength. I felt weak, and I know that was just the wrong thing to do. I just knew I had to change things up.
So how mentally taxing was that on you that day going into that fight?
Well, when you're not mentally there, I mean, it's hard to win a fight. I mean, when you know you're going in the ring not 100%, not having all your strength, it messes you up mentally, and you can't step into a fight, you know, unfocused. You have to be 100% there, and I wasn't.
And so now with obviously the competition of Tony, who, you know, he's a seasoned vet. Anybody out there doesn't know who he is probably a zombie for Zuffa only. But he's obviously somebody who's going to come in and bring the fight to you. Is this exciting now that you feel so healthy? Your camp's going well. Are you excited to have a fight that's going to be brought to you at this level?
I'm very happy. I mean, cardio is not going to be an issue for me. I mean, I know he's a stand-up guy. He's a striker, which is great for me because I'm always fighting wrestlers and I always want to fight a striker, and I never get my wishes till now. So I know he's a striker. I'm a striker, so somebody's going to get knocked out. That's the way I see it going.
I like that answer a lot.
A knee or a punch, Frank?
A punch, but if the knee comes, I'll throw it. Whatever I can hit him with to put him down.
The one I like, the one you had Donnie Walker with. That was a pretty solid one.
Yeah, that was a good one. If I can land it again, I will.
Yeah, this is your 11th fight at NAAFS, man. That's got to, like, have, like, a certain level of comfort, like, you know, stepping into that cage and that facility again and doing work for such a great organization.
It's definitely comfortable. I mean, having all your fans and family there, everyone chanting your name. I mean, hearing everyone pound on the tables, stomping their feet. It's a great environment to be in.
Does that make it more difficult maybe to control your energy the first few moments of the fight when you have, like, that crowd rush or that electricity when you walk out? You know, you hit the stage and then you're walking out and the crowd's just going berserker like that. Are those first few moments of the fight hard to not just want to be super explosive?
No, I mean, after so many fights, I mean, you just learn to relax yourself and stay calm. I mean, in the beginning, you are pumped up, but after a while, you just learn how to control yourself.
Now, what walkout shirt are you going to be rocking?
What's that?
Which walkout shirt will you be rocking this weekend?
Intimidation, Impose Your Will shirt, and I got some Intimidation shorts. Luke's been sponsoring me the last few fights. I mean, he's a good guy, good sponsor. And I like rocking his gear. He has good gear.
Yeah, no, I think Luke's got some really awesome gear, and that's great. He'll be out there with Intimidation. How nice is it having a solid sponsor like that you know you can count on and, you know, not have to worry about them flaking out on you?
It's real good. I mean, I trust him, and I know, like, he's not only about getting his name out. He wants to get the fighters' names out, too. So, which is good, which is a lot of sponsors don't do that. They only worry about their own brand, and that's about it. But Luke, he cares about the fighters, too, which is a big help for the fighters also.
Yeah, because it definitely needs to be a symbiotic relationship between the sponsor and the person that in the sponsoree, I guess would be a good way to put it. Because,
right,
you know, one without the other is not, you know, it's not a functioning unit.
Yeah, I mean, he's not only worried about himself. He's worried about the fighter also.
So everything goes the way you know you're planning on it to go, and you walk out with a victory. What are we seeing down the road from you?
Hopefully getting into the Bellator tournament or World Series of Fighting or UFC. I mean, something bigger. I need to get out the small shows and get into the big shows.
Now I gotta ask you, because I'm a huge fan of overseas leagues. Is that something that's come across your plate that you would want to do, is maybe some international fighting?
If opportunity came, I would definitely take it. I mean, I know it would be a great experience, and I would be ready to step up to those fighters.
You know, over here we're starting to see a pretty good influx of pros making, you know, the trek to Hawaii, the Pacific Rim, and to Asia, even over into Africa, you know. So I know that they're going after more and more Americans, but believe it or not, there's some fighters who don't want to fight outside maybe the big three. So I've got to ask that question every now and again to see how people feel. Is there any leagues in particular you've seen that you would like to fight for overseas?
No, not really. I mean, I really don't pay attention all like that. But, I mean, if something ever did come up, I would definitely take it.
You guys heard it, folks. Somebody get him a contract at EFC in Africa or 1FC overseas, man. That'd be great to see you get to travel over there and fight.
Nitro or Valor in Australia, those are two great organizations that I like to fight. I got to figure out a way to get down there and watch some fights in Australia. So now, what has this week, what's the last week of fight camp been like for you so far, Frank? Is it just a lot of pad work or just mainly cardio and some relaxation, a lot of meditation or?
A lot of relaxation. I mean, running on the treadmill, cutting a little weight, doing a little pads. But usually the last week's all about getting mentally ready and getting your body healed up from all the hard training and stuff and cutting weight. That's usually all it is for me.
Now, do you have any tools that you use as far as the mental aspect of the game that help you to get ready for your fight?
Just relaxing, listening to a lot of music, watching a lot of fights. That's usually all I do for all my fights, just to get ready.
Now, do you watch your fights? Do you watch your opponent's fights? Do you watch your favorite fighter's fights? I mean, what kind of...
Yeah, I'll watch. Sometimes I watch my opponent's fights. I watch Anderson Silva. He's my favorite fighter, or like Benson Henderson. You know, a couple of my favorite fighters.
Oh, Frank, you need to go to Hulu. They now have all the Legend FC events in HD on there for free. There's some good MMA for you to watch too that you probably never got to see. Great organization, great fights.
Yeah, let's check it out. I've seen a couple fights from there, pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. With the Bellator tournaments that you mentioned, seeing as you've already been there a few times, would that be something that would be maybe a first pick for you to go back to?
If they offer me something, I would definitely take it. I mean, whatever comes to me first, I would probably take it. So... I mean, I really don't have a big choice. I just want to go in a big show and fight, show my skills.
You just want to beat the crap out of people. I understand that.
Yeah, basically.
I think
every day at work.
I think Frank Daniel Strauss 2 in Bellator would be a great fight in the 145 tournament.
Hey, that'd be a great
fight.
If
Daniel can get back into the cage again.
I think he will. He's a great fighter.
And you had a great fight with him. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, you, what was it, fifth round?
Yeah,
so,
fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, you went deep with him. And, I mean, a lot of people consider him a great, great, you know, fighter in Bellator. I would love to see that rematch. That's a great call, Ibaki.
Maybe. And I remember in that fight, the second round, I broke my ribs. And it was, after that, it was pretty tough fighting the next three rounds. But I did what I had to. I did what I could.
Was it a kick, a suplex?
I think it's when he took me down. I think he just landed on my ribs the wrong way. My ribs still popped off this day.
Oh, wow. That's got to be one of the most painful injuries to try and fight through is the rib cage because it's, you know, every breath, 98% of your body movement is all involved with that torso region and the rib cage. So, I mean, my hat's off to you for battling through that for three more rounds.
Thanks. Yeah, it was the worst pain I ever had. It was really hard to move when you took me down on the ground.
So how much was it just the pain that kind of called the end of the fight versus, quote-unquote, the punches?
Well, actually, all I could think about was the pain when I was in the fight. I mean, it was hard to get my mind off of it.
Wow. You're a beast, dude. Straight up, you're a beast.
It was tough.
Now, Frank, what's your base style for MMA? You were a collegiate wrestler, if I remember right. It's been a while since I looked at your bio, but.
No, I never wrestled. I did. I started off with kickboxing. Actually with Tywan Howard and Torrance Taylor out at Rising Dragon. So that's where I got started at.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. And Tywan Howard's a beast, dude.
Yeah.
Do Do you still go and do any training with those guys?
Yeah, actually, they helped me out for this camp. So,
cool.
Because I knew I was fighting a striker, so, and these are the best strikers around, Tylan Howard and Torrence Taylor. So that's the best place to go.
And then your main MMA training is at Fearless, right?
Yes, Marvin Williams.
And how do you like it there? Who else is in the gym with you guys? Maybe any young amateurs that are up and coming that you think the people should keep an eye out for?
I mean, we get a lot of people, but they always quit. I mean, once they see how hard the training is, they don't want to do it no more. People don't laugh.
<That's>, look, that's sad, man.
Sport.
I mean, yeah. Well, you know, there's multiple reasons to get healthy in this world, and there's multiple reasons to fight, but it doesn't always mean the both go together. Not for everybody.
No,
you know?
Definitely not.
So what's your favorite part of camp?
The day it's over. The, day
the last day when it's finished.
Well, I would ask you what kind of food you would indulge in, because that's Lafaki's favorite question after your victory, but more likely you're not going to indulge in anything crappy, because it sounds like you eat really healthy all the way around now. So.
Yeah, not till after the fight. I'll give me a large pizza or something.
There you go, and a milkshake. That's what I would recommend, a large cheese pizza and an extra large Frosty.
Or a beer.
Yeah, or a beer, man. Hell, make the pour the beer in the Frosty. Just get real, like, get a Guinness. You could get a Guinness and some vanilla ice cream and just have a Guinness float, man, and that would be super dank.
That might have sounds pretty good, actually.
Look at this. We're coming up with a great dessert. Well, you know, Frank, I know that you got a big test coming in front of you, and I'm excited to see this. And I think that you're going to perform very well. It sounds like, obviously, with the right people, and that your mindset is where you want it to be, and it sounds like it's in the right place. Before we run out of time with you tonight, I want you to have a chance. You got any sponsors, any shout-outs to family, coaches, any social media for fans to follow you? Please run at it.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to thank all my sponsors, Luke, Intimidation Clothing, Zolabs, Kyle Crow, Diverse Fitness, all my family, my friends, my wife, Rising Dragon Fight Team, Griffin Raw, Marvin Williams, who's been there all the time, always helping me with everything I needed, and Edwin Cruz for helping me with my boxing, and all the fans for showing their support, and you guys for having me on.
Oh, no, man. We loved it, bro.
Yeah, man. We really appreciate you taking the time out during fight week, man, to sit down and chat with us. And we wish you the best of luck this weekend, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a good night, Frank.
Thank you. You too.
Lafaki, man.
Dipping into Ohio, man. You know, like, I think my grandpa and his brothers would all be proud that I'm shedding some light on some Ohio MMA right now. That's where we're like part of my mom's family is all from up there. My mom's dad was from Ohio. My mom's mom's from Pennsylvania. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I would honestly happen to say that if Tony Hervey was listening tonight, he would be very happy to know he's finally going to get somebody to stand up and bang with him. Every time he's ever been on this show, that's his one complaint. He's like, I just want people to stand up and bang with me. Well, it looks like he's going to get what he wants this time. And it sounds like, Frank the Tank, man, had pulled in some great people to work with his striking, for real.
Yeah. Tawan Howard, man, he's, I don't really care what people say or what his UFC record was. Dude's a beast.
Yeah, well, you know, once again, you know, we talked about this the other day about K1, about how losses there don't mean so much as they do in MMA. And it's one of the reasons I like that sport, is because a loss does not mean you're a lesser opponent.
Wow, man. I think I read somebody posted that the other day.
I think
you just hijacked that from a fight thread that where we booked this really awesome fight that we'll tell the people about one day.
I don't think if I hijacked that, I didn't already write it.
Oh, so you're saying they stole it from you and you just re-stole it back.
Bam, you got it. Straight up gangster style.
So I guess you could really say that they just borrowed it from you and you just finally got a chance to reclaim it.
Yeah, they borrowed it like, you know, Bloody Elbow borrows Chris Gregory shit.
Yeah. Poor Chris Gregory, man. He's had a rough day. Carl, what's going on with your day, brother?
What's going on with my day? It's been crazy. I barely got here in time to even help you guys.
I shot a moose. I
just
clawed
the
baby seal.
I was busy doing some work for MMA Madhouse today, though, signing Joshua Shackelford to Team Madhouse. Welcome to the club, brother.
Hey, Carl, can you give the other fighter in that fight's name to me yet?
Not yet. I haven't gotten it yet. I'm still waiting.
Okay.
Still waiting.
We're just waiting to.
Yeah, we're all waiting.
Carl.
We're all waiting.
Yeah. It's on you, Carl, man. You're the one holding the
Come
party.
On, Carl. We're all waiting.
I got nothing.
I got Clint telling me to.
Skip.
I got Clint telling me to ride you like a stone pony until you tell us.
I'm just waiting for the email, man. Waiting for the email. I got some insight
got
into a fight
for
today, but
on,
can you
Carl,
tell us
tell
what
me.
Part of the world the fight will happen in?
Australia.
I bet I'm going
to
find out. Let me contact my people in Australia. I've been really trying to work on this.
Carl,
are they going to fight the latest Nitro lightweight champion, Ben Wall?
No idea, man. I really have no idea at this point. I just got fed a tiny little bit of info today, and I'm just waiting for the second half to come along.
Don't be a skip,
so you're saying
Carl.
That they could be a lightweight.
He's being
anything.
A skip right now. That's what he's being. I know if Jeff's listening, he's going to be nodding his head in agreement right now that you're being a skip, and that's just not cool.
Yeah, you are kind of pulling a Skippy right now, Carl. I will verify that.
That coming from Scooter. That coming straight from Scooter. Hey, by the way, you got my bullets?
Thought it was Triple H.
Shut up, you idiot. I have bullets, but they're not yours. They're Old Man Dave.
Did you deliver them when Old Man Dave drove 3 hours to deliver you a package?
Oh, shut the fuck. He didn't drive no 3 hours. It ain't 3 hours to get from there to here.
But he drove over the mountain and risked his life to bring you a Madhouse sticker, and all you were supposed to do is give him some bullets to defend his family in the wilderness. And did you give them to him?
No, I didn't give them to him because for some stupid reason.
Thank you.
For
everybody,
some
good night.
Reason.
We want to thank Intimidation Clothing for this great show.
I didn't do that. I did not do that.
I'm going to remember this, man. I'm gonna get the password to the board, and I'm running the next road show.
I'm completely
enjoy your punishment.
Hey, Carl, I know you got to pay the bills before we go off air, so do it, brother. Hey, the fucking great show, brother. Carl, thank you.
Hey, nice job, little buddy. We'll Skype here in a bit. Three-way Skype.
Yep.
We got to talk to Clinch about Carl the Skippy.
Carl the Skippy. Only sponsor to thank tonight is, of course, Intimidation Clothing. Got to thank them for everything they've done to us, have done for us. They've been with us pretty much from the start. That's about it, man.
Hey, get out there and get that beat shirt, dude, in honor of all the beer I stole off of trains in high school, if nothing else.
Yeah, now Carl's going to have to go do some PR work with Luke from Intimidation Clothing.
That's
now,
a
though.
Great story. You know Luke's going to go tomorrow in the office and be like, guys, you know that shirt for Chapman? Skippy last night was telling this story about how in high school they used to stand outside the train, outside the Air Force base, and kick off all the beer. You know, in the truck. We did that.
I'm
70
pretty
times.
Sure that's not what Luke's going to be saying at all.
You're giving
I
out too much information,
actually,
Skippy.
Actually,
I think
they probably never repeat that story.
Dude, everybody's going to repeat that story. It's a classic.
No, just everybody needs to remember that Sean Hakistani or Hakistani, I don't even know this clown's name, is a complete punk ass.
That's
yeah,
not me, LeBron. Don't even give me that look.
continue arguing. You've got 26 seconds to go.
Oh, sweet. Hold on. I got to get this guy's name. No eagle yet, you Nikan Poo.
Hold on. Great show, boys. Tomorrow night, we're back.
Hey, this message is
PM.
Clinch custom mouth guards. The gerbil eats Cheerios at midnight.
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.
The ice is slippery.